Welcome to the AI Asia Pacific Institute podcast. The rise of AI presents important legal and ethical challenges for society. In this podcast, we invite leaders from different industries and creators of new AI to debate the big questions. This is the AI Asia Pacific Institute podcast. Leanne Pooley has been a documentary filmmaker for over 25 years and has directed films all over the world. In 2011, Leanne's work was recognized by the New Zealand Arts Foundation and she was made a New Zealand Arts Laureate. Leanne was named an Officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit for services to documentary filmmaking in the 2017 New Year's Honors List, and she is a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the Oscars. Leanne is the director of the recently released documentary We Need to Talk About AI for Universal Pictures and GFC Films. The documentary explores the existential risk and exponential benefits of artificial general intelligence. Leanne has served as a judge for the International Emmy Awards, is a voting member of the documentary branch of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the Oscars, has extensive teaching experience, and has published several articles on documentary filmmaking.
We're obviously here to explore the documentary and the work behind the scenes. And so I think a good place to start by inviting you to share this journey with us and what encouraged you to produce this work.
Well, I was approached actually by the producer, Matthew, who I'd made two films with previously. He was just, to be honest, really fascinated with the whole area of AI, and he was particularly fascinated by how it had connected to popular culture and how popular culture was part of the conversation around AI. So it was really his idea, and he approached me because we had a working relationship, and I was instantly interested, you know, partly because, like anyone who's into movies, I'd seen AI, but mainly through the lens of Hollywood. And so I was interested in the conversation, and as soon as we started digging around, the thing I became most interested in was artificial general intelligence. And so we made the decision really on to concentrate on AGI rather than just narrow AI. And that kind of informed where we took the film from there.
Great. And so how did you go about forming, I mean, you have a really great team of people behind the scenes that are giving, you know, the expertise on AI from all different sides, you know, so discussing the controversy of AI in general, artificial intelligence. So how did you go about selecting them and thinking about, you know, the content that they were bringing to have this conversation?
I had a wonderful research team that worked alongside me, and as a group, we spent months sort of digging around to find who the people were who had thought about the big issues. Not, you know, we wanted to look at the existential issues, both from different sides, and we wanted the film to really form a, to be the basis of a conversation. Hopefully what happens when people watch the film is that they go away and they talk about the things that the film highlighted or brought up. And so we basically just started digging and looking. I watched hundreds of TED Talks and, you know, looked at who the people were that were writing in the space, who the people were that were working in the space, which scientists had which views, and you know, whether they could articulate those views as well, because you're always looking for people who not just have something to say, but can say it clearly and in a way that a general audience might understand, because there's always that challenge of making a film about a difficult subject in a way that can speak to a general audience who maybe doesn't know that much about the subject. So it was, there was a process of digging around and talking to people. And we did a lot of phone sort of pre-interviews, if you like, chatting with people about what they thought. And then we went on the road. We were on the road for 2 months. We did 17 cities in 2 months, and we interviewed over 40 people. They're not all in the film, simply because you couldn't fit everyone in the film. We traveled the world. We were in the States for a month, and then we were in Europe for a month. We did a bit of filming in New Zealand. And we just met, you know, every single scientist I met, no matter what their view, I was fascinated by the conversation we were able to have. And so I was optimistic that that conversation might be fascinating as it came together in the film.
And I think it was. and so I feel, you know, a strong point there was how you had experts that were, you know, that are working on a very much the foundation of developing these AI systems. And then, you know, we also had experts there that are studying the implications of AI, right? So people like Sam Harris, that are very much thinking about, you know, the future and how this could really impact us humans. So what did you take away from this conversation in your personal view?
Well, I mean, I think the title is sort of an indication of what I think. You know, I'm not sure I've come to a conclusion, but I definitely think we need to be discussing the issues. And it was interesting, even the people who were not particularly concerned, even the people who felt that it's too soon to be worried, none of them said it's never going to happen. None of them said AGI is impossible. Not one person said it's impossible. Some people said it's 100 years away, and other people said it's going to happen in the next decade. You know, so there was a huge range, but nobody said it was never going to happen. And the fact that it's going to happen probably at some stage in the next century, it just says to me that we should talk about it. We should start. It's too, as Roman Yampolsky says in the film, it's too late to talk about it after it happens. We need to have the conversation now. And it doesn't need to be alarmist. It doesn't need to be panicked, but we should be having it. And so that's what I took away. And it was fascinating during the shoot. I mean, the whole crew, you know, one day we'd talk to somebody who made us feel kind of reassured that everything was going to be okay. And then the next day we'd talk to somebody who scared the bejesus out of us. So it was a very up and down journey we went on. Always fascinating, always thought-provoking, and always, you know, talking about really interesting and fundamental issues, what it means to be human, how these machines are going to change us, not just what they're going to do, but how what they do impacts on who we are as a species. Really big ideas that were wonderful to be able to play with. You know, it was really fun to play in that pond and talk to people who've really thought deeply about difficult, complex, sometimes scary issues.
Yeah, I particularly like the view of, I think his name was Dr. Louis Rosenberg, and yeah, he talks about how, you know, if we knew that we had aliens coming in about 20 years time, and they could possibly, you know, end their life or take over life as we know, we would be preparing.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
Very much, and he compares it to AI, and you know, and that's very much the scenario that we are in right now.
Yeah, and he's somebody who's actively working in the field. He's part of the, you know, the community that is making AI. Now he has a very specific area of expertise that he's looking at. How we should join together with AI and come together in a way so that we're not replaced by it. But yeah, no, he's not even, I don't think he's the first person to say that it's a little bit like a, you know, a comet heading for Earth and we need to get ready for its impact, even if it's a long way away.
Absolutely.
Sam Harris says something similar. I mean, he says it doesn't matter if it's 10 years or 20 years or 50 years. We have to start thinking about it because the issue is so significant. The impact is so potentially massive that we don't want to wait, you know. He's really clear on that as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his work. And I think it goes around what, you know, I personally believe in our work as well, is that it's not even necessarily that we need to worry about AGI, But even before that, with the systems that we have now, we can already see the ethical, social, and ethical implications that we are already experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's very much the core of why we need to have these conversations.
And Hollywood, I mean, weirdly, Hollywood has had this conversation a number of times over the years. I mean, that's why in the film I chose to use 2001 A Space Odyssey as a sort of framing device for the conversation. Because, well, for a start, practically every scientist I spoke to pointed to 2001 A Space Odyssey and HAL as some sort of inspiration for their life's work. But, you know, Stanley Kubrick was asking questions about what it means to be human and how a computer that thinks might impact on our world many years ago. So it was interesting to be able to look at the narratives that have existed for a long time and how some of them seem to be playing out.
Yeah. And personally now, when I watch these movies, which have been, you know, produced years and years ago, and perhaps back in the day, there was purely fiction. With my current work and speaking to a lot of experts in the industry, I can see how so much of that is a reality that is not very far from us in a way. And that in a way is, you know, exciting that we are developing these tools that can really improve life as we know it, and also terrifying, which I think is the both sides that you were able to show in the documentary. Yeah.
And one of the most interesting and difficult things is we don't know what we don't know. You know, we can't imagine what we haven't had to imagine. And I mean, Rodney Brooks made in conversation actually. I don't think it's actually in the film, but he talked to me about the fact that, you know, there was an issue in the 1800s where they didn't know what to do with horse poo, you know, in the streets of London. They didn't know what to do, and they had all these ideas about nappies for horses and, you know, a cork up the horse's bum and whatever, because they couldn't imagine that the solution to the horse poo was the car. They couldn't imagine that. So one of the issues we've got with AI, and particularly AGI, is it's hard to imagine what the issues are going to be. And that makes it hard to have a conversation, which is why some people think it's too soon to have the conversation. I don't necessarily take that view, but it is tricky because we don't even know where to begin in a funny sort of way, which is why I thought it was interesting to have a look at the way science fiction have, you know, the issues science fiction have explored, because in some ways, they have thought about what the issues might be.
Yeah. So from your personal perspective, by, you know, I feel, yeah, number one, you took away that we need to have that conversation. And obviously, I think that's key. That is something that a lot of people believe in, you know, that we need to open this conversation for population in general who know very little about AI. But in fact, we are already using this on a daily basis in so many different ways, and we're just not aware of it. Beyond that, what is your personal view from talking to so many experts about, you know, how far AGI is, for example?
How far away it is? Well, I mean, Max Tegmark, who's in the film, and I think it's, you know, makes a really clear argument for not assuming it's as far away as people say it is. I mean, he makes, you know, he tells the story of the splitting of the atom, and everyone thought it was a long way away, and then it happened very quickly. So, you know, I'm not a scientist, and I don't claim to be, but having talked to all the experts we spoke to, I do feel like it could happen within the next 50 years. All we have to do is look at how quickly things have changed in the last 50 years, and it's, and the potential for an expert, for it to
exponential
sort of
build on growth.
Yes, exactly. Exponential growth is real, I think. It's a real concern. And I thought the experts who were concerned that was the case, you know, Stuart Russell wrote the textbook that so many people who work in AI use when they study, and he's concerned. If the man who wrote the textbook is concerned, I'm concerned. And And also just other sort of the smaller issues that it's easy not to think about. The fact that we will lose the ability to think for ourselves if we let the machines do too much thinking. You know, if our own capacity may be limited by handing over so much to the machines. And once we do that, once we give up our ability to consider deep, you know, to think deeply, we may never be able to get it back again. And that was one of the issues that Stuart Russell brought up, which I hadn't actually thought about, and I, you know, prior to making the film. And it worries me almost as much as what the machines might do. What might happen to us worries me. How it might change humans.
Yeah. Where do we draw the line, right? That's exactly right.
And no one's in charge. No one's in charge. So there's no one drawing lines anywhere. It's just all kind of happening. And there's a race, you know, for it to happen. And even the nature of the race is scary, because the imperative is to get to market quickly. It isn't necessarily to be safe. And that's a bit scary too, because if there's mistakes made with AGI, they may be mistakes that have, you know, catastrophic implications.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we're looking at this the same way that we have been treating, you know, climate problems in the last few, you know, decades, we should be very concerned, right?
We should, although what's fascinating though is a couple of the scientists made the point that it could be the AI that solves climate change. So, you know, there is the balance of trying to get, we have as a species, we are facing catastrophic issues separate to AI, whether it's pandemics or climate change or any number of other issues. And maybe the machines can help with that. So at the same time, we don't want to minimize the potential for good by being afraid of the bad, but it's how you find the balance. And in order to find the balance, we need to have a conversation. And also, I think we probably need to have some form of organization that is, I don't want to say in charge, but is at least in some form of regulatory place.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Bringing this conversation to a global level, right?
Yeah. Really, really do. And that's one of the hard parts. I mean, one of the scientists points out that it's all well and fine for us to put regulations on what's happening, let's say, in America. But if the Russians or the Chinese don't have the same regulations, then we have an imbalance that can also be catastrophic. So, I mean, you know, Putin said, whoever controls artificial general intelligence will control the world. Well, you know, you can just make that up.
Yeah, that's alarming. Yeah. Yeah, the documentary touches on, you know, the race for AI on specifically U.S. development on path with China's. And I think that's the biggest consideration that an industry, because if we're thinking that, you know, the country that does take the lead on this, it essentially will have more power over others. We need to think about how that country specifically, you know, framing these developments, and we're not necessarily sure that that's the case right now, and who is looking over that.
And it isn't just about countries anymore, because the large corporations are in some ways wealthier and more powerful than lots of nation states. So we also are facing the rise of the corporate power broker, and, you know, a lot of the big corporates are playing in the AI pond, and we should be concerned about that too.
Absolutely. We have Facebook developing AI, right? And it's essentially, if I'm not wrong, it's about 70% of you know, shares, so you have 70% of power in the hands of one person, right?
Google, Amazon, they're all investing in AI. Mm-hmm. They're all, and not to mention the big Chinese firm. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work being done. There's nobody in charge. We don't know how fast it's going to change. You know, there's just so many things that could take us down a path that we won't be able to turn back from. You know, the boundary. We don't know where the boundary is. We don't know where that moment is where we've gone so far that we can't come back. And that's that's one of the issues we should start to really think about. Mm-hmm. As you said, where do we draw the line, and who's drawing it? Who's in charge of the line?
Yeah. You have exposed some views there from certain experts about how far we are from this. You know, we still have an AI that's very narrow. In the same way, we know there's been a lot of projects in place happening with large organizations dedicating time and a lot of money for developing AGI. And then we have a lot of experts that believe that, you know, once we reach that level of AGI, we cannot turn around, right? So that's very much when perhaps we might reach those scenarios in a fiction movie where, you know, an AI becomes more powerful than us. Do you believe in that scenario? Like, what movies can you relate to that you think now from doing this documentary, you think that's actually possible?
Well, I mean, I do think that the issues that Kubrick explored in 2001, and you know, it's not maybe that the machine will be malicious in its intent and do something wrong. Hal, in 2001, thought it was doing the best thing. He wanted the mission to succeed. Now, the fact that he was going to have to kill everyone on the mission in order to make it succeed wasn't part of the equation. And that issue, the fact that the machines could take us on a road towards disaster, not because they're trying to be malicious, but because for whatever reason, they interpret the way they've been programmed differently to our intention. And that, you know, that's an issue that, you know, does my head in as a non-scientist. How do we get that right? How do we make sure? I mean, you know, as somebody said, you could say to your robot, I'd kill for a coffee, not meaning you wanted the robot to kill anyone for the coffee, but the robot might not know that. So that, you know, the goal alignment, basically, making sure that the machines goals are aligned to our goals, not just in the outcomes, but in how they achieve those outcomes. That's really, really, really important. And you know, Stuart Russell has a theory, the scientist who wrote the textbook, you know, Stuart feels that we shouldn't be giving the AIs goals because it's too easy for the alignment issue to become a problem. And if we give them goals, they'll just do everything they can to achieve those goals. Yeah. And, you know, the people who say, oh, we can just turn off the machine. Well, the machine is trying to achieve a goal. It will protect itself from anything that might get in the way of achieving that goal, including turning it off. So it's complicated and it's difficult, and it requires smart people to give some thought to it. And as one of the other scientists points out, there's a lot of people working on AI, but not that many people working on AI safety.
Yeah.
There's a lot more money spent on developing the machines than there is being spent on how to ensure they're safe.
A lot of money. I particularly love the example about, you know, let's program a machine that can fix the climate issues. And then the next thing the AI does is to exterminate humans, right? I mean, that's the obvious solution for it.
Exactly. And that, you know, that could be extrapolated in so many ways. If you want world peace, the easiest way to have world peace is get rid of all the humans, because they're the ones that are fighting. I mean, there's so many simple ways of looking at the goal alignment problem without that many ideas on the table as to how to ensure it doesn't happen, you know. Yeah. And that's, again, it's a conversation we need to be having, and that's what I tried to communicate in the film.
Tell us a little bit about Baby X, which I thought it was something quite fascinating. I guess people have to watch it to really understand. But I thought it was fascinating. It's a baby that's being produced based on the developer's own baby, right? And it attempts to produce AGI through that.
Yes, well, he's working on, Mark's working on creating a computer that thinks, and he's teaching it the way you would teach a human infant. Now, he the skin, he could have put anything on the face of of the computer, and he chose to put a baby's face on. It could have been a dog, it could have been a cat, it could have been anything, but he's chosen a baby, which gives it this very, it makes you feel emotionally for the computer in a way that maybe you wouldn't if it had a different sort of face on it. It's fascinating. He illustrated how Baby X worked in front of an audience. And when Baby X started to cry, you heard people in the audience going, "Oh no." They were responding to this machine as if it was a human baby. It's hard for me to explain the work. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd rather he does it in the film. And I think he's doing really interesting, fascinating work. And I think he is doing that work wanting to find benefit for humanity. I really do believe he is looking to do work that helps us as a species. But could it go wrong? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. People have to draw their own conclusion.
Yeah. And that's the same story with, I guess, most of the experts working in the industry. You know, they are always starting with very good intentions of, you know, building fascinating things that can improve our world and our lives, right? I think the issue we have is that almost always these tools can be used for good, or it can be, you know, used for bad. It's not that they program that way, but, you know, the very much nature of humans is that, you know, we can misuse things, unfortunately.
Yeah. And history tells us that we don't always do right by ourselves. You know, that every invention that's had a huge impact has, and you just have to look at where the money comes from too. You know, there's a lot of money that comes from the military, and mm-hmm. you know, as soon as there's a new invention, the military is involved, and we look for new ways of killing each other, and there's just so many things to navigate, which made it fascinating and a little bit difficult. It was a little bit difficult to pull it together in a way that A, didn't make people too depressed that they didn't want to watch it, and B, generated a conversation rather than just overwhelming people with information so that they didn't know where to begin to talk about it. What we want to do is generate interest and push people to have a conversation. One of the most interesting scientists was the one who felt that it's okay if the AI replaces us because it's more intelligent than us. And he saw that as a logical progression, towards a greater intelligence. So he wasn't even worried that he felt that there was a good chance that AI, artificial general intelligence, would be smarter than us, that it would probably replace us, that it would be the end of us. But he didn't see that as a problem because he thought it would be better for the universe if the AI was in charge. So, you know, there's such a huge range of ideas at play.
Yeah, very controversial views, right?
Yeah. That was the second to last interview we did, and the crew was all a bit, oh, we hadn't actually thought about that before.
Yeah. There's always a different angle that we haven't thought about how people are approaching this problem. I find that quite interesting.
And it's why science fiction has been fascinating people forever, because this is where science fiction and the real world are sort of colliding in a way. And these ideas have been tossed around by science fiction authors for, you know, a century really. And the idea of the intelligent robot and the issues around consciousness, what it means to be conscious. If we have a conscious robot, have we enslaved them? Those issues have been in cinemas and in books and for ages. People have thought about these issues. And some of those science fiction works have inspired the scientists that are now working in the field as well. Almost all of them said they were interested in science fiction. It was really interesting.
Yeah. If you have to bet on our future after, you know, producing this documentary? Are you hopeful? What are your, you know, conclusions from that?
To be honest, you know, there's a number of things that worry me about AGI, and even narrower AI, as you said earlier. I do worry about our species losing agency, losing the ability to take care of ourselves. So I am concerned for the future, but I'm also concerned about climate change. I'm concerned about CRISPR. You know, I'm worried about CRISPR. So there's a lot of things to be worried about. Given we're all living through a global pandemic and we're doing our interviews from home, there's a lot to be concerned about. And there's no question that I think AI might be able to help us with some of those problems, but I am worried about where it might take us. I am concerned with that question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put money down. I would never be so arrogant to say, you know, it's going to happen and it's going to happen in 10 years. I would never do that. But I believe there are significant risks, and I believe it because smart people have told me. And I'm listening. And I think we want to listen to the smart people. We live in a world where people are turning away from science. I think we need to turn towards the science and have a listen to what the scientists are telling us. And then we want the philosophers and the politicians and the artists and the engineers. Everybody needs to be part of the conversation, but it needs to be informed. It can't be just crazy.
Absolutely. And I think the takeaway was that we still have time. This conversation we need to have this conversation, but we still have time to frame how this is going to turn out. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, no, it's really important, but we don't know how much time we've got. So we need to use the time we have now. You know, the whole conversation about the event horizon and when we might go past the point of no return. The fact that we don't know where the point of no return is means we have to have the conversation with some urgency. I do believe my key takeaway would be that there is an urgency around the conversation. It doesn't matter how far away AGI is. AI is having an impact now. It's going to continue to have an impact. It's going to affect our lives. It's going to affect the lives of our children. We need to have the conversation now because we don't actually know how much time we have before it's too late to have the conversation.
Yeah. Essentially, yes. Well, this has been fascinating, Leanne. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for taking the time to watch the film.
And I think everyone, well, hopefully everyone that's listening to this should hopefully watch the documentary. Tell us a little bit about where it's available so that makes it easier for people to find it.
Sure. So the documentary is called We Need to Talk About AI. It's on most of the major VOD, video on demand sites. So iTunes, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Google Play, Microsoft Store. It's on almost all of the, it depends on which region in the world you're in, but it's on most of the VOD platforms.
Okay. And for people trying to reach out to you personally, what's the best way?
They can contact me via my website, which is Spacific spelt S as in Sam and then Pacific as in the ocean, spacific.co.nz. So my website is www.spacific.co.nz.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you again for being here today.
Thank you.